Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
You have now arrived at Stadium and Gale.
The stamp. The kick. It's been blocked again. Oh, my. It's been blocked again.
He's going to heave one deep down the field. It's going to be to the goal line. It's going to be gone. It's a touchdown. And the Gators have won the game. Tyreek Cleveland. Oh, my. I can't believe what I just saw.
Dropping back the throw. Pops and fires the ball. Over the middle.
Harmon, he comes back, say goodbye. Ahmad Black, in his final game as a Gator, takes it all the way home and sends Urban out a winner.
You have now arrived at Stadium and Gale.
Boys and girls, ladies and gents, welcome to another episode of Stadium Miguel. It's your boy Corey.
It's Dan.
Delatorre.
And your boy J-Scar25. What it do, y'all boys?
What up, 25?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Same corner, same time. Well, new corner. Same corner, new time, really, Sunday. But, you know, recap time. How's your boy Sunday going? Three-day weekend. What's the vibes?
It's good. Spent some time out on the water earlier today. Obviously, a great day yesterday watching watching football from sunup to sundown. So excited that football is back. The Gators looked outstanding for the most part. We'll get into that. But a great weekend and looking forward to continuing that tomorrow.
Yeah, same vibes. I don't have a lot. Same vibes. Don't have a lot going on, man. Three-day weekend, so it's definitely festive. Didn't have any Pop Warner football. They shut the parks down this weekend. So just been a little Miami, a little vibes. Love what I've seen out of the football team for the most part, like Dan said, but not a whole lot going on. We'll get festive tomorrow, even though we got football practice. It might get a little Tequila Corey. It might be Tequila Corey at practice. No.
Ooh.
Might have to show up a little buzz.
It's crazy. Yeah, I had a pretty chill weekend. I have some friends come in town. My wife's birthday is next weekend, but we decided to celebrate with her friends this weekend. So we had a little good time out in the Palm Beach area. Ran into my boy. Well, didn't run into. He hit me up as he was already out there. Big Fred. Ended up linking up with him downtown. We had a good time. Had some fun.
What's up? Fred, a free agent.
Is he on a roster right now?
Is he? Yeah. He with Philly. You know, they got that week off before the season kicked off.
Okay.
So everybody came home. You can see like that St. Thomas game had all the NFL dudes.
Oh, yeah. So Fred ain't come to Royal Palm game, but he go to St. Thomas. I got
hey, no. Listen, let me give him his flowers. Now, he did go out to his game, and it was away. Oh. He went to his high school game.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
They got Fred name in the weight room now, man. They got Fred. Fred donated. Yeah, they got a plaque and a whole picture, his jersey, all of that, man. We got Glade Central this week, so I'm there. Shout out to Big Fred.
Hey, that's going to get good.
I'll have to check and see how many NFL players went to Coral Springs High School's game on Friday. Probably a real who's who.
You got to show up, Dan. You the coach.
Yeah.
Just show up on the sideline next time. Nick, you had a good weekend?
Yeah, long day Saturday and solo dad tonight. Irresponsible of everyone around me.
It's the hardest job on earth.
Put me in this situation. It's, if you don't hear from me after tonight, it's been great. It's been great knowing you.
Straight up, I'm going to have to check on you, man.
we'll send you an Uber Eats. Send you some bento.
Drive to the hospital and be like, is everyone okay? Like, yeah, no, we're okay. I was just left with the kids, so
yeah, I think you might do a better job.
Figured I need some adult supervision.
That's right. Well, we've got a lot to talk about. We appreciate everybody for joining us in the chat. Let's get a couple ad reads in and let's talk about a historic win in the to start the John Summerall era.
Hey, shout out to Grid. Like you said, how much Corey win? Enough, bro. I win enough. in the words of Drake, might look like we heavy though, you know what I'm saying? But one time for the great folks at Brunner Insurance and Financial Services, anything you need insured from the Panhandle to the Keys, make sure you hit my man Greg up at 954-589-2204 for the best coverage in the state and also the best prices in the state or in the country. If you need a boat insurer, your home insurer, or even your life insurer, he can help you out. If it floats, my man can insure it. That's the rule, man. If it has wheels, like a cart, a sewing wheel, like it don't matter what. If it has wheels, I'm going to figure it out for you, man. 954-589-2204 or BrunnInsurance.com.
Greg, what it do, baby?
My mic was on. Normally it's muted. I ended up muting myself before.
I think it was the episode you missed, Corey. If it floats, get a quote.
There you go. I like that.
Yeah. Bars. If it floats, get elite
a
quote. Bars.
That's a bar. That's your Wheezy following.
That's right.
There.
All of those like years it. Listening to Wheezy. And I show up on time, unlike him. One time for our friends over at the Dykus Burke and Lewis Law Group. If you need a group that used to work on behalf of the insurance companies and now are going to work to protect you, water damage, sinkhole damage, flood damage, whatever it might be, these are the guys to go to. Give them a call at 727-258-0043 or visit them at dykusburkelaw.com. That's D-I-C-U-S-B-U-R-K-E. Law.com. Again, 727-258-0043. Gators win yesterday 66-21. Halftime score was 41-14. It's the most points Florida's ever scored in a season opener since 1994. So now I guess not ever since 1994, in which they beat New Mexico State 70-21. It is the first time the Gators had a 60-point game since 2021, that really ugly Samford game. They scored on 10 of their 11 possessions, and they had 7 touchdown drives or 75 yards or more. Again, 19 straight sellout for the Gators announced with 90,275 fans. So we're going to break down what we liked about the game, offense, defense, concerns, et cetera. But guys, just overall vibe check. Corey, we'll start with you.
Overall, I thought it was a good product on the field. We got 11 on special teams every time. Like my man said in the comments, we didn't punt once. I thought the offense was clicking. Offensive line, I do think, got to get more push, got to get better, right? Okay performance, but wasn't great versus FAU. But the running backs got busy. Love what I seen out of ball, of course. That jump cut is just ridiculous. You know, I haven't seen a jump cut like that since Fred Taylor.
Yeah.
Like, I know both are good, but that jump cut is a lot of similarity. That's Fred go-to move, man. So I thought the jump cut was fire. Shout out to Duke. Duke looked fire in the backfield. He's solid RB2. I think BB3's RB1 looked very good in every phase of the game. Got to pay dirt for his first time. Philo threw some good balls. Deep balls, what I was more concerned with. I thought he hit – who is that? My man Abrams.
TJ Abrams.
Abrams. I've been a big TJ Abrams fans in the spaces. I think he's gonna be an explosive guy, track guy. I think he's like a 10-700 meter type dude. So he's gonna stretch the field. I'm interested to see what it looks like in SEC competition when the passing windows shrink. Defense is another story. I think like we performed well. There were some bright spots. I thought DJ Douglas looked good at safety. He's a guy, he made some plays. Aaron Childs, I think, is the best linebacker on the team. I love Miles Graham, but Aaron Childs came to play football for sure. And I like number 8 a lot. Who else did I like on defense? Ben Haynes splashed here and there. I think we're playing – our cushions are way too big. Don't like the bend, but don't break defense. We'll see if that's just a week one scheme type of thing. But didn't like the pressure from the front four as well. McLeod was one of the bright spots on the defensive line, but overall was a little underwhelmed by – the pass pressure and just overall push up front, but good product they put on the field. I have no complaints, man. We scored points. We lit the crowd up. I heard the drone show was amazing. So,
yeah,
I like it.
Look really cool. Jordan.
Yeah, man. Just to kind of piggyback off Corey, I do agree that the offense, you know, came out and did what they were supposed to do against a team like that. I didn't expect anything less as far as that. From the, I guess we could start with quarterbacks. I was really impressed with Philo. You know, I wanted to see how he can come out and, you know, just handle the offense, command the offense, and just show his confidence. And I liked it. maybe it was a few plays here and there where he was taking shots where I believe he could have checked it down. Even I think I can remember the play before, like, Jaden Ball broke in the red zone. And what was it? I think he tried to throw, like, an all-four verse. He tried to stick it in there and, like, a whole shot kind of, but it was just, like, a low ball. And, like, Jaden Ball was open in the flat. I'm like, I feel like this is versus FAU. This is when you got to kind of just take your little check down and let your playmakers make plays. You know, it was like third and long or second and long, something like that. So you could tell he was just in his mind, he was just trying to gain that yardage back. I think it was right after the snap went over his head. Then we got into a long yardage situation. He tried to sneak in a streak ball. It was a low ball, incomplete. And then he hit Jaden Ball. I mean, run play, next play, Jaden Ball takes it to inside the five. So other than that, offense was obviously phenomenal. Special teams, didn't see much of that because lack of punting, but everything else seemed clean, seemed seamless. And like we said, we don't have the mat anymore, and we had all 11 out there every time, so that's a plus. Just showing attention to detail, right? You got to worry about the little things sometimes. Mm-hmm. So that was great. And defense, yeah, I kind of watched it, and we kind of, not to say we knew it was going to happen, but this team is based off of offense. They make a living off of offense. They have an offensive minded coach and everything like that. So not to say I kind of expected it, but I felt like it was going to be a good test for our defense to see how well they would perform or what they would do under certain types of pressure. So I think they tested our secondary, and I mean, it made me look at our defensive line at, like, how good are we, you know, in comparison to last year and et cetera. So I don't know. I don't want to get into particular on the defense because I feel like I'm gonna try my best to not, you feel me, judge off of one game. Maybe it's just the first game jitters, because you got to remember, being in practice and being in training camp, not to say they do the defense a disservice, but they really do in that. You know, we know what the offense is calling. Most of the plays are scripted. Coach has been putting them in position to win each and every play. And now on Saturdays when it's under the lights, you don't know what the other coach is calling now. So not to say that got exposed, but it was a little bit harder for them. It showed that they were thinking instead of playing. Like, I don't know if Nick can attest to this, but I'm sure the defense was looking great in training camp and the offense was looking bad. And now we get to the game and it's the exact opposite. The defense can no longer know the play before. So now you have to actually think before you play. And it just maybe made them get a little slow start. Hopefully that gives them the ability, you know, let coach get into them this week and really dive into your next opponent and know what they're going to do and be able to, you know, execute the plan. So good thing we got another cupcake coming up, another test for our guys to be able to, you know, just get comfortable on the defensive side of the ball as well as offense again. And yeah, that's pretty much my take on it.
Nick.
Yeah. I text one of my buddies from down the field. Like, offense hasn't looked this good all camp. So I think there is something to that, Jordan. Like, we kind of talked about it too when we were doing our over under segment Friday. We were talking about sacks. I think we both went under for sacks. Like, hey, they get the ball out quick, they move quick. I think Summerall said it after the game. He's like, I think we had a bunch of guys on defense who thought we had arrived. And yeah, I think the defense is probably feeling really good about themselves because they had definitely, in my opinion, been better than the offense in the spring, better than in the fall. You almost gave up 400 yards to FAU at home. It's going to be a bad week in practice for everyone on defense. Offensively, I think really good. I think Aaron Filo is my Graham Mertz comparison. Does that make sense now?
Yeah. I mean, we've only seen one game.
Let's not buy into that yet, man. I hope higher for him than Graham Mertz.
Yeah, that's a fact.
I think similar players.
I think he's a little bit more mobile than I thought he would be.
He's definitely
more. Yeah, he was moving. I like the way
he also climbs the pocket a little bit better than, you know. I think he looks like he's played more than he has.
He looked okay. Yeah, I mean, that was his first. Yeah, his first start. Or a second start.
Second start.
That was his first touchdown pass. I think I heard that on the replay.
Touchdown run?
I think it was his first touchdown pass.
No, because he played Gardner Webb and they beat the crap out of him. He often threw that pass when they beat Miami after they couldn't.
Yeah. ESPN was wrong.
I think it was BB3's first touchdown, is probably what they were saying. Yeah.
Yeah. I thought ESPN said it was both of their.
And BB3 got busy on that joint, boy. He got
did we lose?
Beautiful.
Is that the play that Singletary got hurt?
Yeah,
Singleton got rolled up on a lion, bro. I'm calling
Sorry. Sorry, Nick. Harrison does not agree with your assertion there.
The Merce take is horrible. I'm gonna be honest with you. I'll hope better for that young man. No shot at Merce, but you know,
that's crazy. I mean, Graham Merce is in the NFL, so there's not.
We'll see.
Better.
Well, I think we've got time. Felipe Franks.
Yeah.
Hey, Nick, what else you got?
Anthony Richardson.
Not for long.
I think Ant's gonna be there for a while, believe it or not, bro.
So then good
on the bench, but I don't know if he's gonna be productive, but he'll be there.
they get paid more on the NFL bench than we get paid, so not bad job. Okay.
I'll take a practice squad salary. I'm gonna be honest with you, man.
Yeah,
not in Cavi, might not
offensive line. I think held up well.
Why you say that?
FAU's defensive line severely undersized. I think the first big test you're going to get is at Auburn. The first like monster test is probably Texas. Watching their defensive front, the running back room. I think you played it safe with Evan Pryor, kind of like what I was talking about. Duke and Evan Pryor are such similar in the same kind of mold of runners. So Evan got dinged up early in the week. And honestly, before Duke had gotten hurt in camp, was the number two. So to me, it's kind of like you're playing FAU. They're very similar runners. We don't really need to test you, especially when you've got London Montgomery and Byron Lewis behind them as well. I would have liked – I don't know that the pass was great, but I don't know that – I think the interception is probably on Micah. I mean, the pass is a little bit behind you as you're going across the field. It hits you in the hands.
You got to come down with it. I'm 5'5", but you got to come down with that, bro.
Yeah. It's not – the pass wasn't where it's supposed to be.
But it's good enough.
Good enough. Still feel good about that room. Tight end, Dan's guy. Micah Jones getting in the end zone. I've ever seen a tight end. You know, the offensive linemen usually pick up the running backs, pick up the receivers. Hezzy Kent picked up Micah Jones in the end zone.
That's a good ball from Tramiel too.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. Good to see, you know, some of those other guys getting into the Tramiel getting some reps, London Montgomery getting reps, Byron Lewis getting reps. I think you'll see that again. I'd be interested to see. I didn't go too deep into the PFF, how many offensive linemen they played. Next week's probably even more of that. Offensively, I was just really impressed. Defensively, I think, you know, Kentucky has played some of that, like what Corey talked when Brad was there. They play some of that bend but don't break. I wonder how much of that, though, also is just versus FAU when you're going quick and just being like, hey, keep it in front. Or is that like, hey, that's what you're going to see even when you're playing
against his style. But I think he got to trust his safety. Like, the bend but don't break and cushion is what bothers me a little bit. But his style is bend but don't break, but with an elite front four trying to get out to the passer. Our front four wasn't causing pressures. If you can get home with a front four, I don't mind the cushions and the bend but don't break and maybe causing some turnovers affecting the passer. It was the lack of getting to the quarterback, which, like, disturbed me a little bit, but that is his style. You go watch his Kentucky tape.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and from talking to people at practice, like, that's when I think I said on the pod, like, if their defense, the way that they want to run it, is good, you're not going to get like big numbers from Brendan Bett, from Jeremiah McLeod, from the defensive ends, LJ McCray. You're going to get huge tackle numbers from your linebackers. And I think they even said, like, If the defense runs the way they want it to, you're going to have like your starting three linebackers with 70 plus tackles across the board. And like, it's just a defense that's made for like the defensive line to create for that second level. I think it was going to be tough. I was more concerned about how well I thought FAU ran the ball at times, more so than not getting home. I mean, they only ended up with like under four, I mean, shoot, almost 3 yards a carry. But I just thought that there were, at times, they ran the ball a little more effectively, especially for an air raid offense than I would have expected.
Yeah, and I think that they peaked it, that they were running pretty good. And
then they switched up.
They were, Yeah, they was like, yeah. Okay, let's not be arrogant. We're putting too much pressure on our guy. Let's just hand it off. And they were pretty successful. Yeah. I think from that point, it kind of got me at like, okay, D-line. Like, I think we need to do a little better. Although in the past game, I will say Zero did get a lot of chips on him all night long. It was definitely four hands on him for majority of the night, at least a chip before you got out. And, I mean, that's just some of the stuff you can't really emulate in practice too much. You know, you tell your running backs to stay off the DNs, don't chip them, don't hit them, and then you go to the game and then you just every play you can't even work your moves because somebody's interrupting your pass rush moves like 2 seconds into your rush. So I think it's just something to kind of, you know, keep getting on the grass in live action and then he'll eventually grow and do better.
Yeah, no, 100%. You guys talked about a lot. I think, you know, Corey, you mentioned it. And I think everybody just kind of glossed over how good of a game Jaden Ball had overall in this one. Just an absolute beast, top to bottom, 14 carries, 160 yards, three touchdowns, 11.4 yards a carry, did cross that 2,000 career rushing yards in the process. Just overall looks like one of the best, if not the best, running backs, not just in the SEC, but in the entire college football world. A lot of draft people have him as their RB1 for the 2027 draft there. I thought Duke Clark played great in spurring him. We didn't get to see a bunch of Montgomery prior, and then we got Rubio at the end of the game there. Corey, you mentioned the Vernell Brown touchdown, six catches, 117 yards, one touchdown. That 49-yarder that he caught and just burned down the field was, again, the first touchdown of his career. Nick neglected special teams. He probably felt like they neglected him in this game. Zero punts. In this game, and then a 53-yard field goal from Patrick Durkin there at the end of the first quarter, I believe, which is a career long for him. I do want to touch again just overall on the offensive line. Harrison Moore, I thought the offensive line played decent at time. Harrison Moore did have a number of bad snaps in that game. I kind of understand where Brent Key was coming from, but the guy that replaced him at Georgia Tech seems worse. But overall, just you've got to figure that out. Some of that might be a new quarterback. Some of that might be jitters. But we can't have the snap issues. Fortunately, the Gators were able to say what?
New quarterback? That's his quarterback.
Well, I mean, I think Haynes King was his quarterback last year.
Yeah. I mean, but he wasn't center one the entire time. So I'm pretty sure he snapped to Philo a lot out there because he wasn't locked in as center one. He rotated in and out quite a bit. I don't know what that is. I don't know who the backup center is, but that is. And just seeing Georgia Tech fans kind of bicker about his inconsistencies, whether it was blocking the snap, and then we got to see a little flashes of it game one. It reminded me of the year that the Pouncey was rolling the ball back.
Yeah.
I was like, what the hell is that? So it just gave me some flashes of that. But it was only two snaps. I don't want to like make that like a verdict on him or anything. It was two snaps. Clean it up. You know, we can't have that in big boy play, but it's a thing, clearly.
Yeah.
So I just say that's one.
Go ahead.
It's a good place to test it, but I'll let you know. That's when them snaps do get a little funky. Once you got a dude that's been whooping your behind all day, you worry about getting your butt. Well, you ain't worry about that snap no more. So maybe it was a little.
That's happening to me at Pop Warner right now. My center he was fine until we got to the games. Now
he ain't worried about that snap. You better pick it up. I got if you want to get protected. You better let me do my thing, okay?
Yeah. You got a dog in front of you. It's tough, man.
All of a sudden, you need to have a conversation. Hey, buddy, I think you're a guard. Right. I think you might be a guard.
Who is backup? I don't think that we're – is it Zandamella?
No. Oh. On the depth chart, yes. But if Harrison Moore were to go out, they would slide TJ Shanahan over, and then Rod Kearney would probably be the next guard. So
I did see some good blocks out of Big 7-1 now. When he was
Put Kearney out. I want to see Kearney get busy.
Kearney's interesting because, like, he would be the first – he's the first guard off the bench, whether it's left guard or right guard. He'd be the first one off.
Yeah, Harrison Moore played 58 of the 69 snaps. I think Jason Zinnemella played the other 11 there when they made the switch out. Emeka Ugorji, 52. Bryce Lovett, 48. TJ Shanahan, 47. Najee Harris, 43. Rod Kearney, 37. TJ Dice, 21. Caden Jones, 17. Daniel Pierre-Louis, 11. And Jason Zinnemella, 11 there on the offensive line. I thought the play calling looked great. They got themselves into a couple different pickles and figured out ways for some really long runs. But overall, I thought the offense moved really well, really consistently. They were getting play calls off. No real fundamental penalties or issues. There wasn't a lot of situations where guys were running and the ball was in a different spot than where it should have been. I think that Aaron Filo and Tramell Jones, from what we saw, both have a good handle on the offense, and it seems like everybody's communicating pretty well there. The one drive that I thought was the one where they did have the bad snap. A good awareness by Jaden Ball to go recover that ball. And then they go and have a nice Jaden Ball run, get it close. And then Aaron Filo scampers that one in for a rushing touchdown there. But overall, I thought the offensive play calling looked really, really good.
Was that a Wildcat? I've seen it
in a long time.
Yeah, it was Wildcat.
It was Wildcat. Yeah, there was a couple. Was there two or three Wildcat
plays? Yeah, they kept mixing it in a little bit. And I think he's kind of, you know, trying to set up for the weeks to come, you know, guys get to watch and tape on, okay, this is what they're going to do when they line up the Wildcat. They got two plays or three plays out of it. And I'm sure he's going to have a few tricks up his sleeve. So I'm glad he introduced it this week. And yeah, I'm sure we're going to see a little bit more.
I had the same more impression that you had from that. Yeah. Like once I said, why put that on tape game one, unless you got something to
a wrinkle.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's the only reason.
Want to see how other teams line up to it, how they feel about it. And he's going to do – I'm pretty sure we'll see it again this week coming up in some short yardage situations. And also it's getting him comfortable too, right? Obviously, we know he did Wildcat in high school and all that, but you have to get your relationship with this center right under the light. So I wouldn't be surprised we see it again this following week coming up. I mean, it's only right for us to just keep getting comfortable with all our bread and butter stuff.
Yeah, no, absolutely. We talked about Jaden Ball, 160 yards. Duke Clark, 8 rushes, 65 yards. According to him at the beginning of the show, he looks very, very good. Looks very good. No Evan Pryor in this game, Nick. Expected or not?
Yeah. I mentioned that a little bit when I started. So he got dinged up at practice, and I think just because he is so similar to Duke, like he was available. He was available to play. He was in pads, like went through everything. I think just because the game, like the Jaden was running well. Then Duke came in, and it's not like he's bringing something drastically different to what Duke is bringing to the game. Mm-hmm. So keep it healthy.
Again, yeah, I agree.
You probably want to get him a couple touches against Campbell, just so you're not going, you know, you haven't seen live bullets or live tackling really and going into Auburn, but I don't know how much I would expect to see like Eric Singleton who got hurt. I don't know how much you would expect to see him regardless of what the injury is, how much you would expect to see him against Campbell.
And we don't have enough data on that, right? We will tomorrow or next media availability on Singleton.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see depending on what it is and how John Johnson, like, the media has been loving it. I don't really go to the press conferences on Mondays anymore, but they've been loving like how transparent he is with injuries. They said
he's just a transparent human being.
Straight up.
I mean, his interviews are transparent. His post game seems. I mean, there's going to be coach speak and anything, but it seems to be a little bit more. I feel like he coaches through the media, and probably the way that he talks. Is certainly something that I think is there to drive a certain behavior to change. I know that, you know, he had some choice words about the defense and how soft they were at times, and we'll get into the defensive side of the game here in a bit. But, you know, I think that that's just kind of what his personality is. But running through again, Duke Clark, eight carries, 65 yards, 8.1 yards per carry, one touchdown. Aaron Filo, 6 carries, 20 yards, one touchdown. Byron Lewis, 4 carries, 16 yards. Vernell Brown, 1 carry, 14 yards. London Montgomery, 3 carries, 12 yards. Anthony Rubio, 2 carries for 11 yards. And then Tramell Jones, 2 carries for 3.
I seen my boy get in there. I was happy for him.
And then you had.
Oh, I thought you were about to say retire 2-5, man.
Oh, no, I'm not that
guy. Giving
it
to anybody? You don't feel that way? No?
I could care less. Not to say I got to care, but like, come on, bro. Let somebody else enjoy it. Just be happy being
engaged. I'm just giving you a hard time, man.
Right, I say, who are these people? I don't care who you are. You should not be that guy to want to retire like that unless you're one of one on some Reggie Bush type of college career or something like that. I don't know. That's just my take.
Yeah. I like what Michigan does. Michigan, they retire numbers, but they just put it. So, like, if you're wearing 21 at Michigan, they just have, like, Desmond Howard's name, like, in the collar. So, if you're one of, like, the retired guys, they just have, like, the guys who have worn that jersey who they would have retired it for. They just kind of, like, stitch it in.
I was just joking, guys. We got to do deep takes on retirement.
I didn't about to go in on you.
They gave
a walk on his jersey, Rubio, you know what I'm saying? So I was just joking. But we're not
doing your jersey may or may not have been in the White House, Jordan.
Right? Come on.
It definitely got Secret Service watching it.
That's true.
Come on. That's why I say sometimes you can't be. I would have missed an opportunity like that. You know what I'm saying? You can't just always do that.
10 players caught the ball during the game. Again, Vernell Brown, 6 catches, 117 yards and a touchdown. TJ Abrams, 1 catch, 63 yards. Dallas Wilson, 3 catches, 47 yards. Byron Lewis, 1 catch, 32 yards. Mm. Bailey Stockton, 3 catches, 20 yards. Luke Harpering, 1 catch, 19 yards. Micah Mays, 2 catches, an unfortunate miss, but 15 yards. Amir Jackson, 1 catch, 14. Duke Clark, 1 catch, 10 yards, touchdown, and Micah Mays at the end of the game there, 1 catch, 6 yards, and a touchdown. Before we shift to the defensive side of the ball, any final thoughts? Again, Aaron Filo, 16 of 21, 275 yards, 3 touchdowns, 1 interception. Tramell Jones, 4 catches, 5 attempts, and 68 yards, and a touchdown there. So any final thoughts on the offensive side of the ball before we move to defense?
Last one I got for me is I was, you know, maybe a little sad that we didn't get to see some more spark and highlights out of six, you know, Dallas Wilson. But, you know, let's just keep him in the vault. That's kind of how my take was after. I'm like, you know, let's just keep him there. Let's let everybody think that all we got is VB3 and I guess TJ Abrams at this rate as far as making big plays, right? Got to just call it is.
They didn't seem to throw him a lot of plays where there's going to be a huge opportunity for chunk yards, at least from what I saw. I'll have to rewatch.
That's why I felt like he wasn't really involved much. Maybe that's on purpose. Maybe that's on accident. I can't call it. I was expecting more, you know, just considering the hype he had last year and coming into this year and this new type of offense where we're giving our playmakers the ball early and often. Like, I felt like how VB3 got that little smoke screen and took it to the house. Like, I want to see some of those out of six when he's out there on that island and got one man to beat. I don't think one man could tackle him one-on-one, especially a DB. So maybe he's just keeping him in the vault. I hope he's keeping him in the vault because that kid's extremely talented, and we don't want to waste a talent like that. And next year he's trying to flirt it with other teams and stuff like that.
Yeah, no, I'm not. I think six is going to get his. Filo did a good job of spreading the ball around. I think the offense is kind of designed where you get the ball around. I think VB3 just bring a lot more versatility to that wide receiver group than everybody else. So I think he's going to get more
targets. Yeah.
But I don't know where the narrative come in, like, with even Filo. Like, I never said that Filo was a terrible quarterback. I clearly have said that I was biased towards Tramell because I have a relationship. I don't know Tramell's dad either. I never met Tramell's dad in person. We've maybe exchanged maybe 2 or 3 texts, but I don't have a relationship with Tramell's dad. I don't know where these narratives come from. I never down Filo. I've clearly said I'm biased because I like Tramell and I want to see him play and flourish because he's a Florida kid that's stuck. Mm-hmm. I did the whole transfer portal wave that exited out. I want to see him win. Outside of that, I've always said I'm a cheer for whoever's the starting quarterback at the University of Florida. So let's kill these narratives, man. We hanging out. We talking Gator football, bro. And
because he's a Jacksonville guy, right?
Yeah, he's a Florida guy.
That's why Dan was a big Tramell guy.
Yeah, huge.
And that's my guy. Like people are hit me on Twitter. Is it still Zim? It's always Zim. I'm gonna support Tramiel forever. You know what I'm saying? I support
this guy.
If he transfer, I'm gonna support him. DJ transfer, I support him. You know what I'm saying? I'm still gonna rock with these guys because it's not just about ball, it's about life. And I'm gonna support these guys regardless, man. So let's talk the defense. What we got, Dan?
Oh, real quick.
That's good.
Thoughts on last thought on offense. Thoughts on hitting a Heisman pose multiple times.
I think it was hyped up from Friday night. You know, I think
the whole weekend, everybody was doing the Heisman pose.
Yeah, all the time.
Yeah. It's watered down.
And it's not even the Heisman. It's the Charles Woodson Heisman. I don't mind it. Listen, I think that it's gonna be very, very hard for Jaden Ball to win the Heisman Trophy. I think though that some of it comes from marketing and putting yourself out there and also having a really good time. Yeah. And right now, Jaden Ball looks to be the best running back in the country, and he can do whatever the hell he wants. I don't care if it's against FAU. Those yards count. Those yards count.
That's a fact. I mean, yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. I mean,
if you don't do it versus FAU, you're out of the runnings.
Yeah. I swear. But no cap. He's definitely one of the best running backs we had in the last – shit, I don't know how many years. 10, 15.
I said Fred Taylor. I don't like mean to disrespect you, Jordan. I'm gonna look at you now.
Listen,
you just kind of run through the list of it's.
I'm the realistic.
I think the size, the speed, his cut. I think everything about him just is super, super special. And we saw it a little bit last year, towards the end of the season. You're like, oh, this guy is really special, and he could be something really special, not just a good running back. Then you don't know what you're going to get with an entire offseason. You got to hope that they're going to be better, but you still have an entire offseason. He went in and he played like the best running back in the country yesterday.
Yeah, he did.
He definitely did. I mean, that's what I said.
We got Ole Miss tonight. We'll see what Lacey does because he might put on a show. So we still got another performance, but he looked absolutely, phenomenal. I have no complaints.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sold on the Ball train, bro. I can't lie. Just watching the cuts, watching him just make something out of nothing on certain plays. It's like, this is what you want in your key playmaker. You know, he's the one is that stress reliever to your offense, where whenever you got an issue, just lean on that kind of guy. He's going to make it all right for you. So I'm glad we got that kind of guy on our side. We was able to retain him. But definitely, I don't know if it's a hot take or not, but he is – definitely the best back in the country at this point in time.
Yeah, looking forward to today. Kevin Brock.
Hey, man, get out of here. The Miami fan are talking about Fletcher. It's levels to this, my boy.
Yeah, I love Fletch. He brought
I like Fletcher, but there's levels to this, my boy.
Yeah, Fletch ain't out there just
yet. There's levels to the bezel. You got a Casio, we got a Rolex.
And there's nothing wrong with the Casio. You've got astronauts taking $20 Casio. It's nice G-shot.
Sometimes you can use Casio.
Nice, reliable watch.
Yeah, and that's not bad.
Not what I'm wearing to a black tie wedding, but it's a nice, reliable watch.
Right.
What are you right?
I was trying to look this up. So Jeremiah Love last year, 199 carries, 1,300 yards, 18 touchdowns. That got him a seat at the Heisman.
Yeah, I think you have to win.
You have to be a good team.
Yeah, I think if Florida goes, 10-2, something like that, then I think there's a really good chance, unless Jaden Ball just beats crap out of
us. We have some barn burners and we lose, but he's just going crazy. Yeah. He can make it to the ceremony.
Yeah. I think if you're on like an 8-win team as a running back, you probably got to be near 2,000, if not 2,000.
You
got to
be Barry Sanders or something. Yeah. You got to be crazy. Yeah,
it becomes like such a quarterback award. I mean, obviously,
yeah, I'm about to say Travis it really Hunter, is a quarterback
who's both ways, but like,
I didn't see some great quarterback play yesterday. We'll see.
I think right now it's maybe receiver. I think Jeremiah and maybe Malachi probably lead the runnings.
Yeah,
one.
Yeah,
Malachi was.
Yeah, they was.
Yeah, Malachi. I think Darian Mensah right now is probably just.
What happened to Ryan Williams?
He can't catch the ball.
Can we talk, fingernail polish. Say, can we talk about him? But really, what happened? Yeah, you're right.
The yips.
He needs gloves. He's trying to show them fingernails off when he needs gloves.
Can you imagine
ruining the game? I'm with y'all now. NIL's ruining the game, man. Put gloves on, fam. I know you got the fingernail NIL deal, but put some gloves on, fam.
What's going on? I'm almost happy he's doing that.
Just cut the fingertips off. Cut the fingertips off.
I want any
get a glove deal where they have like a transparent glove around the fingernail. Like you still show your pretty nails off. But
Nick got the idea.
That's a great idea, Nick.
Any football player painting their nails, I hope you suck because I don't want my kid to look up to you being that guy you painting your nails.
Watch Caleb Williams.
I hope
in
he
Chicago.
Stinks.
No,
Caleb, stop.
Caleb Williams showed up to a Chicago Cubs game with a fireman mustache and clean fingers.
Wow,
just drinking beer.
He retired.
Carl Armstrong.
Bears to the Super Bowl.
Bears might go to the Super Bowl because Caleb Williams looks more like a firefighter than he did at playing quarterback at USC.
But man, I don't know what happened with Ryan Williams. Tough.
I thought.
I mean, we were debating him and Jeremiah Smith, who's the best.
Literally,
not even in the list anymore. So let's get to the defensive side of the ball. Before we do that, let's give a quick shout out to our friends over at Game Time Sidekicks. Really cool cups. Going to keep your hot drinks hot and cold drinks cold. GameTimeSidekicks.com. Promo code STADIUM15 will get you 15% off of your order. Going to keep your hot drinks hot and your cold drinks cold. Go support a Gator in Knoxville that has created a really cool company with really great products. GameTimeSidekicks.com. Promo code STADIUM15.
My daughter's putting stuff all
Will Pelfrey, thanks for the jewels. I don't know what the jewels do, but we'll find out one day. I know what my two jewels do. I don't know what these two jewels do.
I'm
so,
about to say, do we pause this or what? I was in a weird space. I didn't know what
it is. Close. Yeah. I had to call it out. Defensive side of the ball, the Gators end up with two interceptions, one from DJ Coleman, and then somebody that none of us picked for the first interception. Dijon Johnson with the first one there. Defense had a really difficult time getting to the quarterback, even creating penetration. I know that there was, I think I saw the stat, it was 5.2 yards per catch for FAU. So they weren't airing the ball out. There wasn't a ton of time in the pocket for the defensive line to get home, but you still give up 276 yards passing and 120 yards on the ground, 396 total yards of offense. But even worse than that for me was they went 11 for 22 on third down and 4 for 7 on fourth down. So, again, they did have 3 turnovers, played very soft, a lot of really large gaps there. There was 10, 11, 12-yard cushions on third and 5, third and 6. And you know what? They're running out 6 yards, catching the ball. They're getting tackled immediately. But again, a lot of really deep cushions there from these DBs. And a lot of people are like, why isn't Ben Hanks playing closer? I'm like, I think Ben Hanks is standing exactly where they've told him to stand.
it's not his decision. It's not his choice.
It's just funny.
What do you mean? There aren't 11 coaches. Like every player isn't also his own coach. Hey, I got
you know what? I'm gonna play. I'm gonna jam this drive.
I feel like just doing whatever I want to do. You know what?
Forget about the game plan all weekend, Brad.
I feel like I could.
I got benched for that in high school. I was just like, man, this cover 3, 10 yards back stuff ain't really working for me, coach. I'm just go jam. Hey, son, come sit down right here. This is not a part of the scheme.
I'm trying to tell you. Think about all that you just did.
You just do what you want to do out here, man.
You come watch your backup do what the play was called for.
Yeah. We don't even care if he get burnt. Like, he just listens well.
Teaching you a lesson right now, son.
He just has good listening skills. Maybe you'll pick up on it.
He's coachable.
What?
I didn't like the cushions as well. Just speaking of DB, I also thought like Kanye Clark struggled a little bit. Mm-hmm. I think he flashed here and there. My take is on this, right? I thought Dijon looked good. Outside of Flowers, when you hurt, bro, take yourself off the field. Like, he had 3 plays of scratch there where he was hurt and they was throwing at him. But I would like to see the best 3 DBs on the field and not just stick to star just because Kanye's that star. Put Dijon there. Put Flowers there. Mix that around. I know they got the safeties rotating down, but I wouldn't mind seeing the corners rotate into that spot instead of a safety. Corners tend to cover better than safeties, especially in that type of situation. So that's my take on the star situation.
Yeah, I kind of feel similar to Corey in that, like, I mean, anybody with the brain watching that game yesterday could tell that we're not solidified in that area. So, like, just let guys spin, you know what I'm saying? Let's see, especially in games like an FAU and a Campbell coming up, like, let's mix in the corner right there. Let's mix in somebody else right there and see what it looks like. I mean, we seen what it looks like against FAU with our supposed-to-be guy. I just felt like low-key they was going at him all night. Like, regardless of where he was at, he's always there. He's seeing elbows in ASS all the time. He's chasing. Like, I'm being honest, and I was like, bro, I feel bad for the kid. Like, I know everybody excited to be in a swamp. Like, I've been there before as a player. Like, everybody wants to make plays. Everybody wants to, you know, do good on their first like, home game. Like, you've been grinding all year for this. Like, so I felt bad for the kid, but I just know he knew he did not have the best game he could have had, especially versus a competition like that. So, not to say it can't change, you know. Maybe he just was having a bad day. Maybe he took them boys lightly, thinking just because it's FAU, ain't going to be no speed out there. But we talked about that on game day eve. Like, as far as skill position goes, the drop-off is not that far. Like,
no, it's not.
I don't care if you were a four-star, five-star that got recruited in Florida, he got recruited at FAU. Yeah. If you line up with him, he can still probably route you up.
It's 100%. A lot of them Florida boys, too.
DB is realistically the hardest position on the field. Like, so y'all already at a disadvantage in that regard.
Talk about it.
And then now you put in – I'm being honest, and now you put into perspective, like, the portal's a thing now, so you got dudes at FAU who probably would have never been at FAU, and you just think because they got on a FAU uniform that they supposedly aren't good, and I hope you figured that out last night, that it's not the case.
Like, they had some good weapons there, and, I mean, that's a team that's going to pass the ball probably more than any team that the Gators are going to play the rest of the year. 53 passing attempts is more than you're ever going to see, and then there was a comment here. Dijon looked like the best corner, but all of them were getting fried. And I just don't think our DBs were getting fried. When you only no pass have rush. 5.2 yards per completion, that's not right. The defense was very much keep it in front, and then you're going to tackle. Very few plays broke out of that into the second or third level where they were getting multiple, you know, 15, 20-yard catches. A lot of these were cushion issues, I thought. I thought you could have played a little bit closer. But obviously the scheme that was there was keep the ball in front, immediately tackle, and then just hope that at some point when the field shortens, it becomes harder for them to score touchdowns. They were the number one offense in the country last year. They were going to score some points. It was bound to happen. You want to see it get improved and get better, but at no point do I think any of our DBs got fried in this one.
Here's the thing, right? I thought, like, they got 21 points, but I'm going to be real with you, bro. Like, in the RFAU, they got some skilled players at those spots. They do have a solid offense or good offense for their conference and their schedule. But I was a little bit on T's Tabor. Like, Friday, he came on the show, and he said, we need to get in these people's face, jam them, disrupt their routes.
Yeah.
I want to see us in a game like that where it ain't SEC type wide receivers. You're not playing Texas. You're not playing Georgia. You're not playing some of the top dogs in the country. It's an opportunity to see who can cook.
For real. Barbecue. I agree with that.
Like, yeah, let's throw them in the blender. Let's put them man to man, jam, get in this grill and see who get beat. And we can work the depth chart after that, right? Because 25 got to get better. Like,
yeah,
he's eventually got to live up to his five-star billing, his capabilities. He's got to get more discipline in his technique, etc. But I thought this was a game where the cushion erased that. We're gonna beat this team. Put my guys in the island, put them in situations where they gotta just absolute be a dog and win the battle one-on-one. And I don't think we did that, and I don't think we put our DBs in the best position. But scheme-wise, I don't know what the overall philosophy and what they're trying to accomplish. So I'm not trying to cook the coaching stack. I all know what they're trying to you know, make happen. I'm a fan.
Right.
But that's what I would have liked to see. A lot of what T's Tabor says, get in their grill, disrupt their routes. And that helps even the D-line a little bit. It's got to be a tool. I know the secondary wants a lot of help from the pass rush. But also, if we disrupt it a little bit, the D-line ain't getting there. Like, let's throw the timing off a little bit. Let's get in the front a little bit. You know, that's what I thought, man. But, you know, we'll see. More games to play.
Yeah, I think it's a safe, like FAU, just the way they run, you're not going to get like coverage sacks. So I think I see where you're going with that. Like, hey, we're disrupting your timing at the line of scrimmage so that the quick one read pass that you have, hey, he's been shoved off the line. That's not there. What does your quarterback do now? And then that helps your defensive line get home instead of just saying like, hey, they're going to throw 3 to 5 yards. We'll just let him have that and we'll tackle him and we'll get off the field.
Right. Like, here's the thing, like some people are saying, regardless of how fast, who's going tempo and getting it out quick at first, right? So we know what their philosophy is, to go tempo, get it out quick. If they're trying to go tempo and get it out quick, let's get in their grill and erase the getting out quick. That's just my thoughts when I was seeing it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that
– oops, sorry, go ahead.
Before you do that, do you think that the speed and the tempo in which they played – might have fatigued our guys a little bit more on the defensive line.
I think so, Dan. I think that they came out knowing it's FAU, already looking into what we're going to do tonight, how we're going to have fun, how we're going to turn up on the defensive side of the ball. I think offensively, if you look back at last year, we had a lot to prove on the offensive side of the ball. So I think just as far as the players who return, their mindset and going in this game felt a little bit different. And like, we had something to prove. A lot of them doubting us. We done went into halftime with 35 yards total offense. Like, that type of stuff is embarrassing versus the defense realistically was elite last year. So we lost a lot of those guys, I agree, but they are still thinking they are those guys. It's like Coach said in the interview, like, it's a lot of guys who think that they're already proven they're already that guy, but realistically speaking, we're not. So I think that they came out and just being a little bit of lackadaisical and realizing like, oh, these boys moving fast tempo. I'm actually a little tired. It's not practice to where I get my little 4 or 5 plays and I get to get out. Nah, you're going to have to do a 6-play plus drive, buddy. It's about to be 11-play drive. What are you going to do after you just had to cover a 9-route, a post, and then you're trying to fight off a block? Like, I think for them, they took the opponent for granted, and I think that they were on their high horse of last year and that, like, the defense was elite. We are elite because we're Florida defense. We got Miles Graham here and everybody back. We them boys. And then all of a sudden the bullets start flying and you realize like, oh, maybe I do need to tighten up. So I think definitely fatigue played a factor in our ability to perform last night.
Yeah. Pro Football Focus ranked them as the 25th best defense, 11th on run defense. I thought that run defense was pretty good. I know that they, you know, probably ran for a little bit more than we thought, but I thought they overall played pretty good. Coverage was 12th. Tackling was 10th. Not a lot of missed tacklings. That certainly improved. Pressure was 85th. Kofi Asari was your top rated player. Then Dijon, Bryce Thornton, Jaden Woods, Aaron Childs, DJ Coleman, Laganza Hayward, Cam James, Emmanuel, and then Jeremiah McLeod. Lowest graded too, DK Kelly. Go ahead.
Then, like, overall D-line got to get better. We lied about our D-line again. Like, we lied so bad that I started telling Nick lies myself. Like, I had Woods for like 6 sacks this past weekend, bro, because I was buying into the lies. Our D-line has got to get to the quarterback. Mm-hmm. Like, there was points in the game where, of course, people saying the tempo, but there was points in the game where it wasn't about tempo. And when they got to the goal line, they just pushing us for a quarterback run or there's 3rd and 8 and they run a dive and get it. Like, that can't happen, right? Like, that's just sure shrimp winning the line of scrimmage type stuff, bro. Like, we got to figure that out, bro. Could it came out flat? It's not a verdict on the season. I'm not saying we're going to be like this the entire season, but the performance on the D-line was – we missing Michael Burrow for sure. The pocket's not getting any movement. Like, right there in front of the center, when that dude dropped back, he's comfortable in a lot of different places. I'm with Scarlett. They were chipping. They do got their mind on. They did watch tape last year, and they know that Zero is a guy. and they put a lot of attention on Zero. But everybody else, if somebody's getting double teamed, I mean, a lot of other people got one-on-one matchups they got to win.
Mm-hmm.
Tried to switch numbers. Went from 15 to 0. He's like, they'll never see me coming.
Right, yeah.
And they won't Zero know. Stand. Go find 15. Go find 15.
Yeah, you should have went to like 16 or something if you were trying to hide.
Who the heck is 67 lined up way outside on defense?
McLeod, though. McLeod showed some flashes. And that was time when McLeod was tapping his helmet like, hey, yo, I'm tired, bro. And they didn't pull him out.
So I even like 99. You know, I think for me at the spring game when I was watching 99 in the spring game, I was like, I just feel like he's so slow. Like his get off wasn't looking good. He looked real stiff. But last night he was flying around from the transfer guy we got.
Yeah,
I forgot his
Emmanuel.
Name. Emmanuel.
Adebayo.
I liked him last night because, you know, I was trying to really hone into all our transfer guys. I didn't get to see the, what was he, a JUCO guy? Number 90, I think.
He had 90. Brandon Bett's 90.
No, not Brandon Bett. What was the other transfer we got? He came from like Southern something.
Mason Clinton, 98.
You're not going to see much of Mason.
No, yeah, and then DK Kalu was 93. He came over.
Yeah, from, we got to score 90.
We only scored 66, Joe. You got to score 90 for him to get in.
I was like, why would we even go grab him? I guess it's just a debt piece. You know, I haven't been there to see how he's been performing and what he's been doing. Flyer, but
see what he could do. Bring him in.
Overall, I was impressed with 99, just his effort and his motor, you know, because that's what was one of my concerns in that, like, watching him in the spring game, I felt like his get off was not very fast and he wasn't really flying around. You know, maybe he was just trying to get used to the SEC type of speed and the game flow, how he moved. But watching him versus FAU last night, I felt like he was flying around. He was trying to chase the ball and make plays. And honestly, that's kind of what you want out of some defensive linemen sometimes. Guys who are going to chase the ball that's 10, 15 yards downfield. Like, don't just turn around and look and just hope that your guys on the back end are making a play. Be that guy that's trying to come behind and poke out the ball. So as long as we keep working those little things like that, I think our defense will continue to improve each week.
Yeah.
Going back to answer this, 5 explosive plays.
I gave him a lot of big plans.
There were 3.
I was planning on going to Miami doing a lot this weekend. I had to cancel it. What you say, Nick?
Three explosive plays. Yeah, there were 3 passes, an 18-yard completion, 25, and a 20, and then 2 rushing. One of them.
They're classifying explosive as 15-plus?
15-plus passing and a 10-plus rushing.
That's what I mean. That's, I mean, they weren't getting fried all game.
No, for sure.
They might have – you might have problems with the zone coverage. You might have some problems with the cushion, but certainly I thought that they did well, and they tackled well. In this game.
Yeah, for sure. I'm not mad at the tackling. And I like Douglas. Douglas had a good game. I'm not mad at that. Even the Dijon interception, that was Douglas. He broke on a route. He diagnosed something. He jumped it. I like
it. Yeah, that was amazing.
Wow. It's been a while since he's got more ball hawk than I expected. You know, it's been a while since I've seen a safety come up the field and jump a route that's within like 5 yards. He deflected the Dijon, get the interception, but I like what I saw out of Douglas for sure.
Coleman.
Why can't call this man Douglas?
We had a DJ Douglas, Coleman. And he ended up in the hedges in the end zone.
From Tulane.
Yeah, from Tulane.
There you go. Makes sense.
He didn't end up in the hedges. Was that him that ended up in the hedges?
Sure was. Yeah, it was.
It was bad. Yeah.
Pray for that guy.
DJ Douglas Lawn Service.
Hey, ban the guy with the Gators. Anybody that put G-A-Y and Gay ever with Gators, you got to get rid of it. It's not 1995, my boy. Upgrade your insults. Like, we don't do that no more. Tie the Bama guy.
You say, hey, man, ban the guy with the Gators.
Ban him. Get him out of here.
Out of here.
Yeah, you got a player. You talking about Gators. You got a player on your team with fingernail polish. Nobody on our squad got fingernail polish, bro. No fingernail polish NILs. I promise you that, man. Shout out to the LGBT letter people. No shouts at them, but we don't have anybody with fingernail polish, man. Get out of here. Ban him. Did you ban him, Dan?
I did. Yeah, he's banned.
All right, I appreciate you.
He said I did.
Get out of here.
Yeah, we have.
I need a classic Corey out of here.
We have done no fingernail polish deals. Softball gymnastics, sure. If you want to hit us up, we will do fingernail polish deals.
Yeah, we'll absolutely
softball, gymnastics, time. Volleyball, sure.
No football.
Please don't hit my line. If you want to call ball wearing your fingernail polish.
No,
don't call Jaden Ball with that.
No.
I see my boy Jaden Ball with a stock training room mouthpiece, by the way. He's a menace for that.
He's a throwback, bro. He's a throwback football player.
I love that.
He's gonna come out.
Jordan's like, we got no battle. No, he's got the one that has a Gator head logo on it that Slim gave to him.
He's I need him in a neck roll.
He's not with the swag. He just wants the ball. I love that about it. Like, come on. Once I saw that picture, I said, okay, it makes a lot of sense now why he does what he does. He doesn't care about the swag. I don't need four socks on that's scrunched up perfectly. He's putting his stuff on and getting ready to warm up and get after it.
Yeah, yeah.
He said the stock mouthpiece.
Literally, he got that off of Paul little fanny pack on the side. They be carrying one on the side of their fanny pack. He's like, give me one before I go in. I forgot mine. Yeah.
No shock, doctor. He got one with no brand on it. It's just like
no boil, no nothing.
It's just a mouthpiece.
No boil, no boil, nuts.
No boil, because it's hard.
Just stock. He got
the mouthpiece straight out of the plastic.
Yeah.
Straight up.
He just put his name into college football. Made no adjustments to the player. No swag. No nothing. Just a guy that's about business.
Now. My guy, Zoe, Alfonso Allen, I've been talking about no gloves, nothing, and he showed up two arm sleeves, gloves, wrists are taped over the arm. Like, okay, this is
– yeah, this is not like you, buddy.
Coming out in practice looking like U40, and then you show up on Saturday night with every accessory.
What?
So, yeah, I mean, that was a game. Big win. Again, one of the largest wins for the Gators in history. Again, the most that they've had in a season opener since 1994. Scored on 10 of 11 possessions. Again, the one that they didn't score was just a missed ball. They were going to probably march down the field there. Seven touchdowns of 75 yards or more. It was fun to watch. It was a lot of fun to watch. You always want to temper some expectations. It's FAU, whatever. But what you saw out of that offense was just something special that hopefully they can continue to get their footing and just continue to roll. They will play Campbell. Go ahead.
No. I need 11. Like, shout out to my guy. I'm glad he reminded me. Whoever in the comments said, I need 11 to wake up. LJ McCray. I heard a lot of Carlos Dunlap comparisons and a lot of things during camp. I need the get off to get a little bit better. I need the motor to get a little bit better. And it's no like calling out. Like, I think the kid has a lot of potential, but we're gonna need him to wake up for us to have a good season. So I need LJ McCray to crank it up like a notch for sure.
And he played a ton. He played, there's 91 total snaps, but he had the third most snaps on the defensive line. It was Jaden Woods,
Jeremiah. If Woods getting all them double teams, you got to win the matchups on the other end, my boy. Mm-hmm. Like, you got to like live up to your five-star billing and cook whoever got you one-on-one, especially if it's FAU. So, yeah, shout out to
Kofi Asari, I thought played pretty well in that game. And Kofi Asari is a guy that when he transferred, I didn't really have much expectation out of him or what he was going to be able to do. And at the time, you had Jaden Woods, you had LJ McCray, the five-star, and you're like, I don't know, but I thought that he's developed into a pretty good player. So
you got to start Kofi at this point. I think Kofi's better.
Yeah. No, I'm big fan of what we saw out of him. We didn't really talk much about the linebackers, Corey. I know that you mentioned Aaron Childs. I thought that from a overall perspective, Aaron Childs was the best linebacker in the game. And I don't think Miles Graham played particularly bad. I just thought that Aaron Childs was a little bit more physical and played a slightly better game there. Was hoping to see a little bit more out of Ty Jackson, only one snap in the game. But the Gators will play Campbell. Campbell is 2-0 right now. They actually just finished a game that they had started yesterday against Western Carolina. They beat them. Western Carolina was ranked number 24 in the FCS, and Campbell went and beat them this morning. Kerwin Bell, for all of you guys that wanted Kerwin Bell to be the offensive coordinator every time Florida's had an offense coordinator search in the last 15, 20 years. But the Campbell Camels will roll into town 5 o'clock, I believe.
I think it's 5:30.
Okay, 5:30.
Camel toes.
Buddy, this is one of those.
Shout out to the camel toes.
Camel toes is wow.
This is one of those old pay-per-view games.
Is it?
Back in the day.
This one's on what, SEC Network?
It's SEC Plus.
Oh, man.
I don't know why they're just throwing shots at you. Why would you be 5 foot? I don't think we ever had a 5 foot player. They just being trolls.
I'm my height right now, man. I'm 6'2", guy.
Might look like he heavy though. Hey, tell him to meet up with you, bro. Old fashioned square up, man. Meet me at Palm Beach Gardens Boulevard. And let's figure it out.
Person, yeah. I mean, I'm just trolling you, man. My measurements are on Google. I have nothing to hide, brother.
Yeah, he's been to the combine, man. Just search it up, man.
Nah, Jordan Starr is definitely taller than Adam Lane.
He can't even lie about his height. I can. Yeah, there's no official measurements on here. I tell the DMV what my height. So DMV believe me. I tell them 6'2". They're just going to put 6'2 on the license. He can't.
Jordan had to wear underwear and get measured.
Yeah. Jordan's in underwear on TV with hundreds of men staring at him, measuring.
Awkward thing I ever had to experience in my life. I tell people that all the time, bro. I'm like, listen, I'm literally stepping nothing but
underwear. Just don't get excited, my boy. Just don't get excited.
Literally. I went to the Senior Bowl one time when they were doing that. They were doing like the weigh-ins of the Senior Bowl. I was like, "This." They're like calling you across the stage, and then like,
one literally, arm you're, out, bro, you're in your undies for like an hour because you got to wait in line. So
it's probably a little chilly in there.
Yeah, like we're indoor.
That would suck for me. 80
plus dudes in the building. What is my
camera doing? Doing everything. But yeah, bro. The underwear Olympics is wild, man. Just don't get excited, man.
That's true. This is a good point about Google and looking up things. Google did say Dejan love. Dejan. Nick, how was – so Gator Bait can't came back.
Dejan Love drone is crazy. Show before we move on, Dejan Love is crazy. I just want to acknowledge my man's coming. Dejan Love is absolutely crazy, man. For that working in 2026, like kudos to that guy, man. He's phenomenal.
That's what I tell people. I said, we got to give our flowers to that actually being successful. Like, come on.
I see a new video every day. I don't know how he pulled it.
I know. And there's nothing that's captivated me on the internet since probably the Monte Teo girlfriend story.
Right.
Yeah. And like, all like
that too.
There's just so much that uncovers.
49ers.com/roster. If somebody is telling me that they're on an NFL roster.
No, he was on waivers. Nick, he hadn't cleared emotional waivers. And once he did, he'd be on. You just didn't understand the three parts of waivers. That's on you, Nick.
There's only 32 of those URLs. Only 32 of them. I don't even have to do a huge search.
I mean, if you show up in Zaxby's with your helmet and jersey, like
you're probably not on a roster.
Come on, like what are we doing? Like
the Photoshop of his mugshot with like they extended it and he was holding the helmet. Just I mean, there's just so many great
riding around in his Bentley with the helmet and jersey on. It's like, all right, bro, like you probably don't play.
Come on, bro. Nobody does that.
No pro player does that. This is not Halloween, my guy. Go ahead, Dan. I'm sorry.
No, you're good. We asked, Dan, that shirt that Summerall was wearing, you can get at the UF Bookstore. You might even be able to get it on Alumni Hall.
It's a Fanatics thing. So,
or Fanatics.
Probably the Alumni. It's probably everywhere. Like whenever the coaches' polos are on the sideline, that's like what Nike and Jordan are pushing.
Yeah, you can get it. You can definitely get that. That's a public use polo.
Hey, shout out to him for wearing like Gator colors, though.
I know it's cool black to see.
Yeah. Oh shoot! This week, weird jerseys: blue, orange, white. Yeah, blue, orange, white. This week, I almost forgot about that. Blue hat, orange top, white pants. This week.
We're interested to see how that will look.
It looks a lot like Denver. Looks like Denver's throwbacks.
Blue jersey for the camel toes, man.
Yeah, I guess they just mixing it up for them boys. I get it, I guess.
Yeah, it's a camel toe. You gotta go too sexy with it.
So, Nick, want to run your drone show was cool?
Yeah, we're about to run into dad time here. But yes.
Okay, yeah, we're wrapping up.
Drone show was cool. You say hi, Frankie?
Okay. All right. Well, now we don't even have her consent for her to be on the pod, so we're gonna wrap up.
You say we drone.
Drone show was cool.
We're gonna get a family show, Dan. Like you gotta have kids years on.
It is a just your head show. On. You can't ever forget that.
It's a family show. You're in a parody show.
All right. Well, we'll wrap up here with our friends over at Alumni Hall. Go visit alumnihall.com. or go visit them in Gainesville, right off of Archer Road. You can't miss it. North side of the road, right near the Chick-fil-A. But the largest selection of Florida Gators apparel and accessories that you will find in all of the city of Gainesville. Go visit alumnihall.com or go visit them in Gainesville, right on Archer Road. We will be back for game day eve on Friday around 11:30. We are going to welcome Danny Werfel onto the show on Friday. So we are pumped for that. We appreciate everybody for joining us and commenting and making us laugh and also banning somebody. So hopefully he liked it before he left. But other than that, great win again. John Summerall is 1-0 with a 66-21 win over FAU. We will see you guys on Friday, and it is great to be a Florida Gator.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.